Chapter 8. Stan Reacher pulled his field cap low and walked away to work. A minute later, Josie headed out shopping, with a big bag and a thin purse. Reacher sat on the curb, waiting for the kid with the boil to come out to play. Joe stayed inside, but not for long. 30 minutes later, he came out with combed hair and a jacket. He said, "I'm going to take a walk." "To the school?" Reacher asked. "Least said, soonest mended." "They're not humiliating you. You're humiliating yourself. How does scoring 100% make you feel good when you already asked what the questions were?" "It's a matter of principle." "Not my principle," Reacher said. "My principle is they set these things so average people can pass them, which gives me enough of a chance that I don't feel I have to get my panties in a wad beforehand." "You want people to think you're average?" "I don't care what people think." "You know you have to wait here for the delivery, right?" "Yeah, I'll be here," Reacher said, "unless the fat, smelly kid comes out with so many friends I end up in the hospital." "Nobody's coming out with anybody. They all went to a ball game. This morning, in a bus. I saw them. They'll be gone all day." Chapter 9. The telephone delivery arrived while Reacher was eating lunch. He had made himself a cheese sandwich and a pot of coffee, and was halfway through both when the delivery guy knocked on the door. The guy unpacked the box himself and handed Reacher the phone. He said he had to keep the box. Apparently there was a shortage of boxes on the island. The phone was a weird instrument. It was like no phone Reacher had seen before. He put it on the countertop next to the remains of his sandwich and looked at it from all angles. It was definitely foreign and probably about 30 years old, from some beaten nation's wartime warehouses then. Mountains of stuff had been inherited. 100,000 typewriters here, 100,000 binoculars there, 100,000 telephones, rewired and reissued. At the right time, too. Turning tents and Quonset huts all over the world into permanent brick and stone buildings must have put a lot of pressure on a lot of people. Why wait for Bell Labs or GE when you can just back up a truck to a warehouse in Frankfurt? Reacher found the jack on the kitchen wall and plugged in the phone and checked for a dial tone. It was there, so he left the phone on the countertop and headed out to the beach. Chapter 10. It was a great beach, better than most Reacher had seen. He took off his shirt and his shoes and took a long swim in warm blue water, and then he closed his eyes and lay in the sun until he was dry again. He opened his eyes and saw nothing but whiteout and glare from the sky. Then he blinked and turned his head and saw he was not alone. 15 feet away, a girl was lying on a towel. She was in a one-piece bathing suit. She was maybe 13 or 14. Not all grown up, but not a kid either. She had beads of water on her skin, and her hair was slick and heavy. Reacher stood up, all crusted with sand. He had no towel. He used his shirt to brush himself off, and then he shook it out and put it on. The girl turned her head and asked, "Where do you live?" Reacher pointed. "Up the street," he said. "Would you let me walk back with you?"
"Sure.
Why?"
"In case those boys are there."
"They're not. They're gone all day.
They may come back early."
"Did they give you that toll road crap?" She nodded.
"I wouldn't pay."
"What did they want?"
"I don't want to tell you."
Reacher said nothing. The girl asked, "What's your name?" Reacher said,
"Reacher. Mine's Helen. I'm pleased to meet you, Helen. How long have you been here?"
"Since yesterday," Reacher said.
"You?
A week or so.
Are you staying long?"
"Looks like it.
You?"
"I'm not sure," Reacher said. The girl stood up and shook out her towel. She was a slender thing, small but long-legged. She had nail polish on her toes. They walked off the sand together and into the long concrete street. It was deserted up ahead. Reacher asked,
"Where's your house?"
Helen said,
"On the left, near the top. Mine's on the right. We're practically neighbors."
Reacher walked her all the way, but her mom was home by then, so he wasn't asked in. Helen smiled sweetly and said thanks, and Reacher crossed the street to his own place, where he found hot, still air and nobody home. So he just sat on the stoop and whiled away the time. 2 hours later, the three Marine NCOs came home on their motorbikes, followed by two more, then two more in cars. 30 minutes after that, a regular American school bus rolled in from the ball game, and a crowd of neighborhood kids spilled out and went inside their homes with nothing more than hard stares in Reacher's direction. Reacher stared back just as hard, but he didn't move, partly because he hadn't seen his target, which was strange. He looked all around, once, twice, and by the time the diesel smoke cleared, he was certain the fat, smelly kid with the boil had not been on the bus. Chapter 11. Eventually, Joe came home, silent and preoccupied and uncommunicative. He didn't say where he had been. He didn't say anything. He just headed for the kitchen, washed his hands, checked the new phone for a dial tone, and then went to take a shower, which was unusual for Joe at that time of day. Next in, surprisingly, was their father, also silent and preoccupied and uncommunicative. He got a glass of water, checked the phone for a dial tone, and holed up in the living room. Last in was their mother, struggling under the weight of packages and a bouquet of flowers the Women's Welcoming Committee had produced at lunch. Reacher took the packages from her and carried them to the kitchen. She saw the new phone on the countertop and brightened a little. She never felt good until she had checked in with her dad and made sure he had her latest contact information. France was 7 hours behind Japan, which made it mid-morning there, which was a good time for a chat, so she dialed the long number and listened to it ring. She got the housekeeper, of course, and a minute later, the hot little house on Okinawa was in an uproar. Chapter 12. Stan Reacher got straight on the new phone to his company clerk, who leaned on a guy who leaned on another guy, like dominoes, and within 30 minutes, Josie had a seat on the last civilian flight of the evening to Tokyo, and within 40, she had an onward connection to Paris. Reacher asked, "Do you want company?" His mother said, "Of course I would like it, and I know your Grandpa Moutier would love to see you again, but I could be there a couple of weeks, more perhaps, and you have a test to take and then school to start." "They'll understand. I don't mind missing a couple of weeks, and I could take the test when I get back, or maybe they'll forget all about it." His father said, "Your mother means we can't afford it, son. Plane tickets are expensive." And so were taxicabs, but 2 hours later they took one to the airport. An old Japanese guy showed up in a big boxy Datsun, and Stan got in the front, and Josie and the boys crowded together in the back. Josie had a small bag. Joe was clean from the shower, but his hair was no longer combed. It was back to its usual tousled mess. Reacher was still salty and sandy from the beach. No one said much of anything. Reacher remembered his grandfather pretty well. He had met him 3 times. He had a closet full of artificial limbs. Apparently the heirs of deceased veterans were still officially obliged to return the prostheses to the manufacturer for adjustment and eventual reissue, part of the deal from back in the day. Grandpa Moutier said every year or so another one would show up at his door, sometimes 2 or 3 a year. Some of them were made from table legs.